right, so let's go ahead and jump right in. So, number one, Rudolph wasn't loved. Sometimes we don't feel loved. So, poor Rudolph, he's a reindeer that no one loves. Seems like they love all the other reindeer, but not Rudolph, right? He looks funny, he acts a little different, he is a little different. They laugh at him, they call him names. They dislike him, we assume because of the way he looks. Like all good stories, though, at the end, something changes. Because he did something amazing that helped save the day of Christmas. Now all the reindeer love him. Hopefully, Rudolph and Dancer are able to become real friends after this. I'm not really sure. But from what we know, it appears that the other reindeer now accept Rudolph only because of what he did, right? But not because of who he is. They love him because he saved the day, not because he's Rudolph. All right, here's a beautiful truth. No matter what you can or cannot do, all of us are loved. And why? Just because of who you are. Has nothing to do with anything you can or cannot do. Just because of who you are loved. If God had a refrigerator, your picture would be hanging on it. If God had a wallet, your picture would be like on the inside of it, right? If God had a cell phone, you'd be on the home screen. And we could do this all day. You get the point. Ephesians puts it this way. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ. And in 1 John 3:1, see what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. God wants us to know that he loves us. How do I know this? Because he says it over and over and over and over again in his word. How else do I know? Because he went through a lot of trouble to show it. About 2,000 years ago, the Prince of Peace left his throne in heaven. And he came down to be born in a manger in a tiny little nowhere place called Bethlehem. The greatest event in history, and basically nobody even knew about it. Right? A few people sprinkled here and there, a few animals. And that's it. Jesus came in a way, the greatest event in history, but nobody really even knew. And that's just the beginning of the story. I pray that you will notice and that you'll be overwhelmed with God's great love every single day of this season. And I pray that as a result, you'll celebrate Emmanuel, God with us. And not just the next 2 weeks, but in the dead of winter, right? In the spring, in the summer, and all the seasons go by, don't we remember Emmanuel, God with us, and the great love that he has for us. God's love is the greatest gift ever given. When Jesus was on the cross, on that fateful day, it wasn't the nails that held Jesus to the cross. In my mind, I can picture this great heavenly army on these awesome stallions just itching to come down to save their Savior. But Jesus didn't need them either, right? It was his love for us that held him on the cross. Jesus certainly didn't have to stay there, but he chose to because his love for us. And that is love that we celebrate this Christmas season. And I pray that you open that gift every day because we do have to open it to receive it. Right? Just like any other gift that's under the tree, no matter how awesome it is, if you don't open it, you can't use it. And the same applies to Jesus' love for us. If we don't open it every single day, then we waste this, the greatest gift of all time. All right, number two. Not only was Rudolph not loved, but Rudolph was wrong. And we will be also. We probably already have been many times. Right, so remember, they laughed and they called him names. They wouldn't let poor Rudolph joining the reindeer games, right? Rudolph was wrong. I want you to remember that Jesus gave up heaven willingly. And not only that, so not only this Christmas story that we celebrate, right? He comes, he's born in a manger in a nowhere place, right? In the end of the story, he's tortured, he's abused, he's spit on, his friends turn his back on him. He knew what it was like to be wronged, but on on a tremendous level. And in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 10, it says, "That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Jesus understands what we're going through. He has experienced the very worst of human behavior. Many of you have experienced it too. But Jesus is also the risen Savior. When we're weak, when we're struggling, when we don't know where to turn, when we don't know what to do, when we're empty, when we're at the bottom of the pit, this is the opportunity that God uses to show His great strength. Right? This is the opportunity that He uses to do only what He can do. Right, number three, Rudolph was different. We are too, and it's okay. We can relate to Rudolph because we're different in many ways. But here's one way that I want to remind you that every single one of us are different. We were intended to be different. We were designed to be different. Right? Listen to this. In John 15, "If you belonged to this world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world." And in Philippians 3:20, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ." We were always intended and designed to be different. We are not of this world. We are citizens of heaven. So if you feel different in a world that doesn't recognize the majesty of Jesus and His place in this world, it's okay. You were designed to feel that. Okay. You know the story of the Wright brothers? Less than, 200 miles southeast of us, in a place called Kitty Hawk, they successfully became the first humans to fly. It was December 17, 1903, and they made 4 successful test flights. A few hours after that, they went and found a place where they could send a telegram back home saying, briefly describing their success, and then they said, "And we'll be home in their home of Dayton, Ohio. We'll be back home for Christmas." So on December 19th, the headline of the local paper was, "Wright Boys will be home for Christmas." Now, I've heard this story several times. In all fairness, the details of the story included their one of the greatest pieces of all time. But the headline was, "Wright Brothers Home for Christmas," right? They kind of missed the point. We kind of missed the point too, to be honest, right? We're different. We were meant to be different, but we struggle in that difference a lot. And what I want to encourage you is it's good to recognize the difference, but don't struggle in the difference, right? We should embrace the difference, given that Jesus intended for this difference to be there. Right? We, as followers of Jesus, we are set apart. This is a Christian idea, to be set apart. Listen how Peter describes it in 1 Peter 2, verse 9. "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light." Chosen, royal, holy, a special possession. If that's what different is, I say, call me different, right? I want to be those things. I would imagine that everybody wants to be recognized as special, as holy, as the creator of the universe, this special creation. But in this world, it's easy to fall for the fear of being different, right? But embrace the difference, because we are children of the one true King. Lord, may we see how beautiful it is to be different. All right, number four. Rudolph was invited to join the team. We also are invited. All right. So poor Rudolph, right? He's awkward. He's different. The rest of them make fun of him. He wanted to join in all the games, but they wouldn't let him. They excluded him. He missed out on the fun. But then something very fateful happen, right? There's a dim fog moves in on Christmas Eve. Santa's been watching Rudolph. He knows that he's different. But what the reindeer have been joking him about is different. Santa sees how it can be useful, right? So we know the story. He leads the team. Santa invites him on the team, but not only to be on the team, right? Not sit on the bench, to be the leader of the team, right? Did you know that when you become a believer in Jesus, Jesus invites you to join his team in his gospel work? When I was a teenager, baseball was my favorite sport. And I was pretty good. And one year we were playing on one of the like all-star tournament teams. And we made it through the first round and we were into the next round. And we felt good about our chances to play pretty deep. And I remember the very first game of the second round of the tournament, our coach, he's doing this. And he wasn't really a tough talk kind of guy, so this was a little bit different. And he says, at one point he says, "You know the guy who said you can't win them all? He was a loser. You can't win them all." And then an hour later, we were getting crushed. Right? And so we did not win them all. But the reason I tell you that story is because God's team is nothing like that, right? No matter what is said or done by anybody else, God's team will be standing at the end. Our team went home and cried and thought about what could have been. God's team will not be doing that. At the end of the tournament, God's team will be standing victorious. Ephesians 2:10. "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." This is the team that God invited you to be on. The truth is that you will never, ever find fulfillment until we allow God to use us. Until we're completely open to what it means to be on God's team, we will never find any fulfillment. There is no fulfillment in anything besides the work of God because it is not what we were made for. Right? We were intended to be different. We were intended to be on God's team. We were intended to find the abundant life through doing His work. And anything other than that will, you might find some temporary fulfillment and good things, but you will never find lasting fulfillment in any way other than following God on His team the way He always created you to do it. Alright? And this brings up an interesting question. Does God need me on His team? Or does He choose me to be on His team anyway? Right? God doesn't need me to be on His team. Because He loves us, He chooses us to participate with Him in His work. Right? He chooses us to be on His team because He knows that will provide those deep, meaningful things in our lives that we're truly looking for. He wants our lives to matter. He wants us to stop segregating life into church with Him on Sunday, church with me the rest of the week. I mean, life with me the rest of the week, right? He wants us to stop that and start living like we're on His team 24/7. That's called living life communally with God. That's what we were meant to be. We were meant to be on His team all the time. In other words, right? Do life with God. Be with Him. We weren't called to go through the motions. We were called to live passionate, godly lives that bear eternal fruit. Lives of impact. Lives that share God's heart with the hurting world. Which leads me to my last point. Rudolph was greatly blessed. God wants to bless us. We talked about this a little bit, but I want to follow up on that some. Okay? At the end of the song, we no longer see Rudolph as the poor reindeer who gets made fun of, right? We see him as the hero. And he is the hero, right? He served in such a great way that he becomes the hero of the story. I might be the only one, but I don't think so. I doubt that most people can name all of the other reindeer, right? I can remember some of them, but I always struggle to name the rest of them. But everybody knows Rudolph. He was greatly blessed. As believers, God has special blessings for each of us that serve Him with our lives. Here are a few verses. John 12, 26. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. And Ephesians 1, 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. God wants to bless us. He wants to give us good gifts. And don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking fancy material things, but spiritual blessings, meaningful things that we all search for. Peace and joy. A sense of purpose. Fulfillment in life. Love, hope, faith, eternity in heaven, right? These are the things that God definitely wants to bless us with. A DC tour guide tells a story of a little boy touring DC with his family. And they made it to the Washington Monument, and in awe, the little boy says, "Man, I want to buy that." And the tour guide jokingly says, "Well, how much money do you have?" And he digs in his pocket and he says, "I have 35 cents. So the tour guide squats down and he says, "I'm going to tell you a couple things. One, I'm afraid 35 cents will not buy the Washington Monument. Even if you had 35 million, you wouldn't be able to buy it. And even worse than that, it's not for sale. But I have good news for you." And he could tell, he knew this was his son's farm. He said, "You're a citizen of the United States. This monument already belongs to you." So the point of the story is this. You can buy a lot of things, but you do not have enough money to buy spiritual blessings. No matter how hard you try, how long you try, it just won't happen. And the spiritual blessings aren't for sale anyway. You know, even if you could somehow come up with all of the money in the world and all the time in the world. And even more importantly, if we are followers of Christ, we already own the spiritual blessings. Right? The question is, and I said this probably 10 minutes ago, the question is, do you unwrap that gift every day? Or do you just sit under the tree and wait till next year? Because if you don't unwrap the love of God, then you might not have the love of God. If you don't unwrap the spiritual blessings, all of them that God wants to pour out on us, if you don't unwrap them, then you might not be using them. And even though you are probably searching for them, and even though they're right there under the tree, they might as well be on the other side of the world if you're not willing to open them and use them. So I pray there is a truth in Rudolph's story that you will see how you can implement in your life. I'd like to close with a challenge. When you hear Christmas songs this week, I want you to think about how you can implement some of these truths in your life. Right? And not just the easy ones. Right? Those are easy. Extra points for the tricky ones, like Rudolph. And actually, there are several more things that you can glean from Rudolph that I didn't point out. Or like Frosty the Snowman. Right? There's tons of silly songs out there that have lots of spiritual truths that you can glean. And then share that with someone. Right? Rudolph obviously isn't really a missionary, but God doesn't need anybody with a fancy title to proclaim His goodness and His love and His story. All He needs is a follower that's willing to live life with Him. And then God finds His story through that. So, I know you'll hear the Christmas songs. Think about how you can implement a truth in your life and then share that with somebody. Because remember, God invites you to be on His team, and you're not just sitting on the bench somewhere in the corner. You are a first rounder, right? You're a five-star All-American. You are Plan A. You are the plan, right? There's no team waiting in the wings. It's God's church that's the plan. All right, let's pray together. How great is the love of the Father that we should be called children of God. Lord, thank you for that quiet night in Bethlehem. some 2,000 years ago, the very first Christmas night. Thank you for the gift of your love. May we unwrap it every day and celebrate the beauty and power of that gift. May we allow everything around us, even silly songs about reindeer, to remind us of that great love. And may we have the courage to share with a world that is desperate to know true love. In the beautiful name of our Savior, we pray. Amen.